This is KIXI, Seattle.
KIXI AM and FM, it's 10 p.m.
CBS News, the governor of Ohio, James Rhodes, a former president of Kent State University, and 27 officers and men of the Ohio National Guard have been cleared by a jury of financial liability in the Kent State shootings. I'm Jerry Landay, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Within minutes of the verdict in Cleveland, Joseph Kellner, the chief attorney for the parents and students who had brought the suit, announced the case was far from over.
The case was tried in an atmosphere of prejudice, emanating from way back in 1970 when polls taken of the 16 counties, the residents in the 16 counties from which the jury was drawn, showed that between 68% and 70% of those who were polled automatically had anti-student prejudices, regardless of the fact that they did not know what the evidence consisted of.
On those grounds, Kellner said, the plaintiffs will take their case to a higher court. More after this. Michelob, it's an unexpected pleasure, and it's been that way ever since Anheuser-Busch rolled out the first Michelob barrel in 1896. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Striking without warning, opening great fissures in mankind's ultimate sanctuary of terra firma, earthquakes have inspired terror and awe since man first walked the earth. Along with war and pestilence, they rank as one of the world's great killers. The writing is from Time Magazine's cover story this week, Forecast Earthquake, a fascinating report on the worldwide effort to predict and control earthquakes and the floods, fires, and landslides they trigger. This week, every week, Time puts a world of information at your fingertips. Pick up a copy today.
A candidate for the Democratic presidential nomination has berated President Ford for letting the Republican National Committee pay for his speechmaking tours. Senator Lloyd Benson of Texas says Mr. Ford's trips are political and as such should be underwritten by Mr. Ford's presidential campaign fund. By doing otherwise, Benson charges, the president is violating the letter and spirit of the new campaign reform laws. A White House spokesman disagrees, suggesting the president's traveling as the head of the Republican Party, not as a candidate. American officials in Jerusalem have revealed a few details on the American technicians who would be stationed in Sinai under the provisions of the proposed Israeli-Egyptian accord. About 100 to 150 in number, they would be drawn from private industry and from the ranks of former employees of the Central Intelligence Agency and the National Security Agency. They would ostensibly be equipped with sidearms. The technicians to operate surveillance stations between newly drawn demarcation lines separating Israeli and Egyptian troops. The president of Portugal, Costa Gomes, has denied reports that the United States has tried to coerce him into removing the pro-communist premier from office. It had been reported the U.S. agreed to fly Portuguese refugees out of war-torn Angola if Premier Vasco Gonçalves were ousted. But the president of Portugal brands those reports completely false. President Isabel Perón of Argentina has capitulated to a faction of angry generals by accepting the resignation of Army Chief Alberto Laplane and selecting one of the dissidents as his successor. Laplane had twice resigned, twice the president refused to accept the resignation. The dissidents placed their units on alert, apparently ready to topple Perón if it came to that. It did not. The president backed down. A federal judge in Corpus Christi, Texas, has ruled that Texas longshoremen must continue to load American grain onto ships bound for Russia for the time being. The order stays in effect pending a court hearing on a request by shippers for a permanent injunction against work stoppages. Said the judge, their political views notwithstanding, the longshoremen have a valid contract to load grain. One of the best measures of economic trends, the government's composite index of 12 business indicators, continues to point upward in July for the fifth month in a row. The index is still 11 points below last year. Commerce Secretary Rogers Morton cautioning that the index for future months may not be quite as bright. More news in a minute.
Have you entered the fabulous CBS Radio Mystery Theater contest? It's in full swing right now and will continue all through the month of August. Listen to the Mystery Theater today for details on how to enter. You can win an all-expense-paid, 7-day, 6-night vacation at Walt Disney World near Orlando, Florida. Each winner can take 3 people to Disney's Vacation Kingdom of the World. 16 people in all will be our guests. You'll fly first class and stay in luxurious accommodations. You'll see Disney's spectacular bicentennial celebration, America on Parade. You'll receive free tickets to all attractions at Walt Disney World. You can swim, golf, play tennis, ride horseback, camp, and dine in elegance. We have 400 Mickey Mouse watches for runners-up. There'll be weekly winners all this month. 16 people in all will have the chance to enjoy these free trips to the vacation kingdom of the world, Walt Disney World. Listen to CBS Radio Mystery Theater today on this station for all the contest details. Promotional consideration by Walt Disney World.
The Detroit Free Press reports that trained dogs detected the scent of the missing James Hoffa in the back seat and trunk of a suspect car. The car owned by the son of alleged mafia leader Anthony Giacalone. The car was used by Hoffa's foster son, Charles O'Brien, the day Hoffa disappeared exactly 1 month ago. The investigators concede, however, the findings may not be admissible in court. I'm Jerry Landay, CBS News.
Stay tuned for CBS Mystery Theater, which follows in a moment. And now the special word, the first annual Downtown Seattle Bed Race, sponsored by the Muscular Dystrophy Association and the Downtown Seattle Development Association, to raise money for the Muscular Dystrophy Association's fight against dystrophy. The race taking place this coming Saturday, August 30th, beginning at 10 in the morning, right in downtown Seattle on 4th Avenue between University and Pine Streets. See leading downtown businessmen racing in beds on wheels. That's Saturday, August 30th at 10 a.m. Stay tuned now for CBS Radio Mystery Theater with your host, E.G. Marshall.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Marshall, I have a story to tell you about trickery and venality and genius and the threat of an alien presence in our midst. A story, too, that may leave you wondering about procedures behind secret doors where, although it is your future that is being rewritten, you are not invited to participate. Listen closely. It could happen.
You were going to tell me something about what this Professor Addison is up to?
Yes. We have reason to believe that he is working on a method, a mathematical concept, I should say.
Yes.
Which may very well achieve the time bypass necessary for interstellar travel.
Wait, I didn't quite get that.
It's completely beyond either of us, so don't expect me to explain it to you. He's working on a way to travel between galaxies.
You take it seriously? I mean, you believe it's possible?
It's already been done, my friend. Where do you think the unidentified flying objects come from?
Our mystery drama, The Eavesdroppers, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Field and Farrington and stars Arnold Moss. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
The following fable is presented to make you want to buy a Buick.
I've never been very good at making decisions. Fortunately, when I was little, I had some help.
He's a boy. We'll take the blue blanket, the blue rattle, and the blue baby buggy with the rubber bumpers.
As I grew older, however, I was increasingly on my own.
Should I wear my snowsuit or my swimsuit? Gee, that's a toughie.
Today, decisions still aren't my big strength.
May I have your signature, Mr. Seymour?
Let me see, should I use a pencil, a pen, a crayon? I mean, I don't... Well, thanks to Buick, I now have real problems. I mean, having heard what a great engine the V6 is, spunky yet efficient and all, and knowing that Buick is famous for V6 engines, well, I trotted right down to a Buick dealer. Then I find out that they offer it in three cars. There's Skyhawk, the compact Skylark, and the mid-size Century, and all with the Buick V6. Well, it wasn't easy, but I finally decided I'll take a Skylark, won't I?
Buick, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. You know, the worldwide trend today is toward a universal system of measurement, the metric system. The names of this new system may sound strange to you at first, but fortunately, there are only a few words that have to be learned for everyday use, and these are the millimeter, centimeter, meter, and kilometer for describing length and distance, the milliliter and liter for capacity or volume, the gram, kilogram, and ton for weight, the kilometer per hour for highway speed, and the degree Celsius or centigrade for temperature. You're already using some of these terms more than you may realize. For example, when you go to the supermarket, you see weights expressed in grams on more and more packaged items. Now, for more information on this whole metric system, write to Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C.
In Pennsylvania's beautiful Pocono Mountains, which has recently and at considerable expense been restored to its original condition. One wing has been made ideally suitable for use as a laboratory. This work was all arranged for and supervised by a man who calls himself Mr. Smith. More, one suspects, to promote anonymity than to establish identity. The job is finished now, and Mr. Smith is interviewing two people, Pearl and Edgar Parker, to whom he has offered a rather peculiar job.
Frankly, Mr. Smith, I don't like it. I'm an electronics engineer. I wouldn't enjoy working as a handyman, and my wife isn't a housemaid either.
No, I'm not.
And the other part of the job, the part you haven't told us much about, I think I like that even less.
To begin with, I happen to know that you're out of a job and have been for some time. You need money.
All right, that may be true, but undercover agents, isn't that what you want us to be?
If you like a spade called a spade, yes.
Well, why us? We don't know anything about espionage.
But you know a great deal about electronic equipment, and that's what's needed. That and two people to look after a big house.
Well, all right. Suppose you give us some details. First of all, if we decide to take this thing, how much?
At the end of the summer, you'll receive $20,000 in cash.
Oh, that's different, isn't it, Edgar?
Well, it depends on what we have to do for it. To whom and for whom. I want to know who and what, Mr. Smith.
You'll be working for aliens. Beings from another planet. From another galaxy, actually.
Oh, come on.
You wanted the truth, you have it.
Oh, there aren't any such people.
Oh, but there are. I've been in touch with them for some time. Our environment doesn't suit them. They come to Earth only in cases of extreme emergency.
I don't believe you.
It doesn't matter what you believe. The 20,000 will be good, solid American dollars.
Now look, whatever they want or don't want, it's clear that we'll be operating against somebody, and I'd like to know who.
A single scientist who's working on a project. My clients don't want to succeed. It would be against their best interests.
All right, what's his name?
We hope to rent the house to a Professor Dwight Addison. You may have heard the name. He's a very highly rated physicist. One of the top few.
A physicist? Oh, if it's going to be bombs.
No bombs. He's into something entirely different.
All right, I've heard of Dwight Addison. What would you expect us to do, Mr. Smith?
Edgar, if it isn't bombs and it's 20,000...
Wait a minute. What do you want us to do, Mr. Smith?
It's begun, Jim. Jane. I've cleaned out my desk, kissed my equipment goodbye, put my reactors to bed for their long summer hibernation. Professor Dwight Addison is on sabbatical. The summer is my personal property.
We still have to look for a house, you know.
Well, whoever heard of ointment without a fly in it?
A house where the owners won't object to your converting a basement or a garage or something into a laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking to Mars Times. Maybe we'll be lucky.
Well, that's an excellent idea. Jane, I don't know what I'd do without you.
Well, time to make the phone call, I guess.
To them?
That's right.
The aliens themselves, Edgar?
No. Smith said he'd be our control.
Oh, where is he? Where do you have to call?
Someplace in New York, that's all I know. I wouldn't know that even, except for the area code.
All the same, even if it's not them, it makes me feel creepy.
$20,000. That's the thing to keep in mind, Pearl. The money. Okay, here goes.
I always wanted to go to Europe. Could we go afterwards or maybe take a cruise somewhere?
This is...
No names. No names ever. I carried out your instructions.
To the letter. Everything as ordered.
Very well. Now let me hear your story.
Well, we've been through it a lot, Mr. Smith, and
once
I really know...
More, please.
All right. The owner of the house is James Ellis. He's in Wall Street. He and his wife are taking the summer off and touring Europe. He's an amateur scientist. That's why he's got the lab set up. Pearl and I have worked for them for years and are almost like family. I assist him in the lab sometimes, and,
Your privacy.
Oh, yes. It's been a rule for years that nobody ever comes into our wing of the house. That's like part of our pay. We have complete privacy.
Don't forget it. All right. We'll put the ad in tomorrow morning's Times. You should hear from the tenant sometime tomorrow. Try to make an appointment to show him the house for tomorrow afternoon. We're in a hurry.
Well, what if somebody else sees the ad and calls first?
No one else will see the advertisement. It will be placed only in the tenant's copy of the Times.
Well, how can you do that?
Just do as you're told. Don't worry about things that don't concern you.
I don't like that man.
$20,000, Edgar.
It's going to be a strain at any price.
Dwight?
Hmm?
Dwight, I found it. It's here. It sounds absolutely perfect.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Sugar Heights, Pennsylvania, heart of the Poconos. 12-room Victorian home, recently restored, all in excellent condition. Housekeeper and chauffeur groundskeeper included or no deal. West wing occupied by help. East wing suitable for use as workshop, studio, or laboratory.
What?
Immediate occupancy for season only. Season ending on September 30th. Sort of big for us, but otherwise, doesn't it sound perfect, Dwight?
Yes, it does. Almost too perfect, don't you think?
Oh, how can a thing be too perfect?
Well, my work is classified, Jane. Most secret. I don't know. It almost sounds as though someone knew I wanted a place to work this summer and has made this one to order for me.
Oh, now really, Dwight.
Well, it's a trouble, you know, with doing this sort of work. It makes you suspicious. All right, we won't worry about it.
Shall we call and make an appointment to see the house?
Well, there's no harm in looking. Maybe the roof leaks or something.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, the way the ad reads, it just sounds too good to be true.
Hello?
I'm calling about your ad in the Times this morning. Has the house been taken yet?
No, not yet.
My husband and I would like to drive out and look at it.
May I have the name, please?
Professor and Mrs. Dwight Addison. We live in New York City and we're looking for a summer house.
I'm Edgar Parker. My wife and I look after the place. I think the ad said something about that.
Oh, yes, that part's fine. When may we see the house?
Anytime, Mrs. Addison. This afternoon would be fine.
This afternoon, say around 2?
Very good, and I'm sure you'll like the place, Mrs. Addison.
Yes, my husband said it sounds made to order.
Well, that's just about everything, Mrs. Addison.
You do like the place, don't you, Dwight?
Oh, yes, yes, very much indeed. You're sure now that the owners won't mind my moving my own equipment into the lab?
Oh, no, Mr. Ellis will be glad to have it used. As I told you, he's a kind of amateur at science himself. Dabbling, he calls it. Matter of fact, I help him out sometimes, kind of like a lab assistant, you know?
Yes, I see.
If you wanted me to, I could help you out around the lab, too. You know, just wash up and keep everything straight, things like that. I always enjoy doing it for Mr. Ellis.
No, thank you. That won't be necessary.
It wouldn't be any trouble at all.
Professor Addison never uses an assistant. He likes to work alone.
Oh, well then.
Shall we take it, Dwight? I think it's just lovely.
Yes, it's very suitable. All right, we'll take it.
Do you have to report every night, Edgar?
Yes, that's Smith's main reason for giving us a private wing in the house, so we can have our own telephone.
Yes?
They took the place. I guess you already know that. He doesn't use an assistant, though, so I can't possibly...
You'll have to get into the lab on your own. They're planning to move it tomorrow, I believe?
Tomorrow afternoon.
All right, you stay there with them through dinner, then drive to Allentown, to Benny's Bar and Grill. I'll meet you there at 9:30 tomorrow evening.
Look, if you just tell me now what I should look for...
Don't be a fool. This is a telephone we're talking on. I'll see you tomorrow, 9:30 p.m.
Dwight, you have to admit that Pearl and Edgar were a big help. And the dinner was good, didn't you think?
I suppose it would be presumptuous to criticize him.
Presumptuous to criticize Edgar?
Edgar? Oh, no. Einstein.
I didn't know we were talking about him.
No, he might very well have decided not to go on. Except he didn't hold back on the other equation.
If you're going to wander away, dear, try not to get lost. It's a strange house, you know?
Well, was Mr. Big Shot Smith satisfied, Edgar?
Oh, he wouldn't say so if he was. I have to meet him in Allentown tomorrow night.
Oh, no. And leave me here alone.
Well, that's what the man says. The bugs must be working. He seemed to know all about everything that's been going on in the house.
Well, they ought to work, the time you've spent on them.
For $20,000, I do very good work, Pearl.
You, still don't believe about the aliens and all that, do you?
To tell the truth, I don't care very much.
The way he told it, though, it really sounded like...
Shh, be quiet.
Oh, you startled me.
Professor Addison, please, this is our wing of the house. It's supposed to be private.
Oh, I am sorry. My wife says I'm just a little absent-minded at times. I get preoccupied and...
Oh.
Well, I suppose I didn't pay much attention to where I was going. I do apologize.
Oh, well, that's all right, Professor.
I assure you it won't happen again.
Okay, that's okay.
I think you heard what we were saying.
I doubt it. He's in a real fog most of the time.
Jane, we're going into the city tomorrow.
Into the city? What on earth for? We just got here.
Well, I have some errands to do that can't wait.
What errands? Well, okay, you go if you have to. Well, I think I'll stay here. There are still a few little things I want to rearrange.
Jane, I want you to come with me tomorrow. Please do as I say.
Why, Dwight?
And don't argue with me.
Well, of course, if you feel that strongly about
it. I do. I'm going into the lab now. I'll probably be working most of the night, so don't wait up for me.
Are there actually creatures from another galaxy capable of exerting an influence on the people of our Earth? We have only a Mr. Smith's word for it. And if he has chosen to use an assumed name, as we suspect, then perhaps this more fantastic statement of his is also suspect. The doubt makes you a little uncomfortable, though, doesn't it? I'll return shortly with Act Two.
I'm Hyman Brown, producer of Mystery Theater. By now, I'm sure you know that Mrs. Ethelda Barrows of Melrose, Massachusetts, was the second happy winner in our Mystery Theater contest with Walt Disney World. We'll pick the next grand prize winner of an all-expense-paid week for four at Walt Disney World this week and it could be you. Just imagine the fun of flying first class to Walt Disney World near Orlando, Florida. You'll stay at the Dutch Inn, enjoy a wonderful vacation week of swimming, golfing, camping, and tennis. You'll receive free tickets to all the attractions in the Magic Kingdom, including the spectacular bicentennial celebration America on Parade. And you take three family members or friends with you. That's the first prize each week. In addition, there are 100 great-looking Mickey Mouse watches for runners-up. So relax and enjoy our drama now, and I'll be back right after the next act to tell you how easy it is to enter.
You are in Brazil, northeastern Brazil, far from tropical Amazon jungles and far from the bright lights of big cities. This area is often stricken by drought, life is hard, and childhood diseases such as measles are sometimes fatal. A child suffering from malnutrition or dehydration cannot fight disease. But hope lives in Brazil. Project Hope, introducing new ideas in healthcare, such as well baby clinics. In a pilot program operated jointly by Project Hope and Brazilian doctors and nurses, a group of 40 babies has undergone monthly checkups for a year. Their mothers were instructed on good hygiene, nutrition, and immunization. All of these babies lived, while typically 5 of the 40 would have died during the first year. Hope lives because you help. Keep it up. Write Project Hope, Room A, Washington, D.C.
Man's distinctive characteristics, one of the traits that sets him apart from the beast, is his desire for privacy. He is a gregarious creature, true, but his business is his own. He resents having it pried into and will fight, if he must, to put a stop to the prying. It appears that Professor Dwight Addison's privacy is being invaded. He is not an ordinary man, and should not be expected to take ordinary countermeasures. But that he will take action of some sort is quite certain.
Dwight?
Yes, Jane?
Oh, I'm sorry to bother you in the lab. You know I never do, but tonight...
Oh, it's all right. It's all right, my dear. It's quite all right.
I was going to bed, but I didn't think I could sleep. Are you angry with me, Dwight?
Why, no, of course I'm not. Why should I be angry?
About going into the city. You acted so, well, not a bit like yourself.
Oh. Well, you see, I got this idea for a new type of hearing aid, and I just wanted
hearing to... Hearing aid? Well, you're not having trouble with your hearing, are you?
No, it's not for me. I just had an idea, I don't know where it came from, really, about a way to improve the quality of the sound reproduced in those small hearing aids they use nowadays, and... Well, you know how I am.
Yes, I know how you are.
I wanted to do it before I got back onto the other thing.
Will you be long here?
Another hour or so, I expect. May you get some sleep, dear. You'll need your rest for the trip into the city tomorrow.
Do we really have to go, Dwight?
I'm afraid so. There are a few things I must do, and I will need your help.
Mr. Smith, I've been here almost an hour.
I was detained. Your wife didn't come with you?
I thought it would be better for one of us to stay at the house.
Commendable.
Thank you. You were going to tell me something about what this Professor Addison is up to?
Yes. We have reason to believe that he's working on a method, a mathematical concept, I should say, which may very well achieve the time bypass necessary for interstellar travel.
I didn't quite get that.
It's completely beyond either of us. Don't expect me to explain it to you. He's working on a way to travel between stars, between galaxies.
You take it seriously? You believe it's possible?
It's already been done, my friend. Where do you think the unidentified flying objects come from?
Well, I've always thought they were optical illusions or something like that.
A great many people do. It's a belief my clients have always encouraged. You and I know better.
I guess so.
And you think Professor Addison can do it?
I don't know anything about it myself. My clients seem to believe that he's very close. It's our job to help them find out how close.
And then what?
They want him stopped. That's all I know.
Now look, if they plan to get rid of him somehow, I don't want any part of it at any price. And I still don't know what to look for if I get into his lab.
Not if. When. Look for anything that he's jotted down. Every word, every number, everything. Here, I brought you this.
A cigarette lighter?
It's made to look like one. Actually, it's a camera, and a very good one.
Oh, no kidding. But
I'll show you how it works later. Does the professor have a good desk lamp?
Well, it's three-way. I think it goes up to 150 watts. Pretty bright.
Well, that's all you need. I want every scrap of paper you find in that lab photographed. It doesn't have to look important. You're not the one who decides.
I don't have keys to his desk, you know.
I'm not concerned with how you get at his papers. Just do it.
Okay, I'll think of something. Are the bugs working all right?
You'd have heard about it if they weren't.
You don't work very hard at making friends, do you, Mr. Smith?
I don't make friends. I buy accomplices.
My favorite breakfast. How did you know, Edgar?
Mrs. Addison told Pearl that you like poached eggs.
They look good, don't they?
They are beautiful.
Professor Addison.
Yes, Edgar.
Mrs. Addison told Pearl you were working in the lab pretty much all night. Would you like me to go in and kind of straighten up for you?
Oh, no, thank you.
I wouldn't mind at all. I wouldn't mess with anything, of course. Just sort of put the place in order.
Edgar, I don't like anybody in my lab. Not anybody at all.
Are you still planning to go into the city, Dwight? You hardly got any sleep at all.
Oh, yes, we really must.
Will there be anything else right now, Professor?
No, thank you, Edgar.
I'll be sure to tell Pearl what you said about not going into the lab.
We'd better get started, hadn't we?
Started? Oh, for the city. Well, there's no hurry, really. I'd like to test my hearing aid before we go.
Test it?
I'm curious about how it reacts to various acoustical situations. I want to put it in my ear and try out the sound in various rooms of the house and then outside. Well, why don't you come along? A little walk around the grounds. Sounds terribly baronial, doesn't it?
Funny. I never knew you were interested in hearing aids.
Well, the idea just hit me suddenly.
They're out back now, Edgar.
What are they doing?
Well, she's cutting some flowers, and, well, he keeps wandering around listening to something. Well, birds, I guess.
He's trying out a hearing aid. Look, do you want to help me here?
Okay.
It's one of the keys on this ring. I never saw a house with so many keys and locks. I think this is it.
Is that what he's working on? A hearing aid?
No, he got sidetracked, I guess.
What are you going to do in the lab?
I have to take pictures of any papers I can find. Now leave the door open so we can hear them if they come in.
Take pictures?
Just help me look for papers, will you? Any kind. Anything with something written on it.
Well, he must have emptied the waste paper basket himself.
Well, the desk is locked. I knew it would be.
This filing cabinet's locked, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here's some stuff. Under the desk blotter.
Oh, good. Let me see. Uh-huh. Gibberish. I guess that's a good sign.
A good sign?
Now, listen, Pearl. Go out and watch them through the window, will you? I've got to get pictures of this stuff. Now, just let me know if they start back toward the house.
Well, why is it a good sign if there's just, well, you know, whatever you said, gibberish on the papers?
Just watch, will you?
I won't know what half these flowers are until they bloom. This one's an iris, I know that much.
You'll have to speak up, Jane. I can't hear a thing you're saying.
That's some hearing aid you made.
It doesn't seem to be working very well. I might as well not be wearing it at all.
Well, do you know what's wrong with it?
Just need some adjustment, I imagine.
Dwight, do you really have a lot of secret stuff in the lab?
Oh, yes, indeed. Practically everything in there. Top secret.
Things Edgar and Pearl shouldn't see?
Well, that's why I told them to stay out of the lab, Jane. I have papers in there that no one should see.
Did you lock the door?
To the lab? Well, of course.
Aren't you afraid that telling them not to go into the lab will only make them all the more curious? Just serve as an added temptation?
Oh, I don't think so. Surely we can trust Pearl and Edgar.
You better get out of there, Edgar. They're coming back toward the house.
Okay, okay, I've finished anyway. Just turn the light off and put these papers back under the blotter.
Hurry up, will you?
I'm all finished. All right, you better come away from that window.
It's all right. It's supposed to be my kitchen. I'm just stacking the breakfast dishes.
Oh, Pearl, can you get me a vase to put these flowers in?
Oh, sure, Mrs. Addison. My, they're pretty, aren't they? What are those little blue ones?
Oh, grape hyacinths. I think you'd know as long as you've been working here.
Oh, Edgar does all the gardening. Edgar and Mrs.
Ellis. Mrs. Ellis. Go find a vase for Mrs. Addison, Pearl.
Mrs. Ellis, yes, I'm so bad with names. Sometimes I almost can't remember my own.
Go get the vase, Pearl.
I'll get that nice blue one Mrs. Ellis likes so much.
Sure, we're on the right road, Dwight?
Well, I'm taking a slightly different route this time. I'd like us to enjoy the natural beauty of these mountains, and somehow four lanes with a minimum speed of 40 miles an hour doesn't give you much of a chance.
You know, it's funny about Pearl.
What's funny about her?
Well, she's been living in that house for a long time. Years, the way they tell it. And she doesn't know a grape hyacinth when she sees one. They're perennials, you know. They come up every spring, year after year.
Well, she probably just doesn't have that much interest in flowers. Some people don't.
Maybe. And she couldn't remember Mrs. Ellis's name. Been working for her for years and couldn't remember her name.
You're just too suspicious, Jane. Edgar and Pearl are fine people. We're lucky to have them.
Either the professor got lost or Mr. Smith Almighty's unhappy about something again.
Hello.
In future, we'd prefer that Professor and Mrs. Addison not leave the house.
Well, now, just how do you expect me to stop them?
It may be necessary to tamper with their car. That isn't why I called, however.
Then why did you?
Impertinence doesn't become you. I called to suggest that you advise your wife not to be an idiot. She can possibly avoid it.
I don't know what you mean.
The thing about the flowers.
Well, Pearl didn't know what the flowers were. She wasn't thinking.
Yes, that was obvious. Also, is it too much to ask that she remember the name of the woman she's been working for all these years?
Well, she covered that up fine. They didn't suspect a thing.
Mrs. Addison did. We've been monitoring them in the car. A good agent memorizes every detail of his cover. That's the first rule.
Look, if you wanted spies, you should have hired spies.
Yes, that has occurred to me, too.
Sooner or later, I'm going to have to punch that guy in the nose.
Well, maybe you're not lost, but I am.
Oh, it's a beautiful spring day, dear. A day meant for wandering. Look. Just look at that.
Now what?
Well, there's a path leading off into the woods. Don't you see it there? It would be sinful, downright sinful, not to follow it.
You mean get out and take that path into the woods?
Well, we have to know where it leads, Jane. Don't you feel you just have to?
No, I don't. I don't feel the least bit that way. I'll bet there'd be snakes in there.
Jane, please come with me.
Why?
Because I ask you to.
Well, if you put it that way.
Here, let me help you. Those aren't very good shoes for walking in the woods.
Well, I thought I was going to the city.
Takes me back to my childhood. Watch those branches, dear. Let me hold them for you.
Oh, it's muddy.
No. That's leaf mold. It's quite a different thing. All right. I guess this is far enough.
Far enough for what?
Now, listen carefully, Jane. We can't stay out of the car too long.
Why not if we want to?
That house is bugged. The lawn is bugged. Even our car is bugged.
Bugged?
Eavesdropping devices. Every word we've said since we moved into that house has been overheard.
Beware of the man with the high IQ and the irresponsible behavior. He is not what he seems. He doesn't accept values blindly, but has a close look at each one as it is offered to him and decides for himself how much it is worth. Professor Addison is not an easy mark, clearly, and a battle has just been joined. We'll hear the outcome when I return shortly with Act Three.
I'm High Brown, director of Mystery Theater. This month, we in Walt Disney World are giving 16 lucky people all expense paid vacations at Walt Disney World near Orlando, Florida. Just send your name and address, and each week in August, we'll select the lucky winners in random drawings. You can win a week of fun for four at the Vacation Kingdom of the World. Fly first class, stay in the Dutch Inn, get free tickets to all rides and attractions in the Magic Kingdom, including Disney's spectacular bicentennial celebration, America on Parade. There are 400 Mickey Mouse watches as prizes also. Send your name and address to Mystery Theater, P.O. Box 1, Radio City Station, New York, 10019. Contest void where prohibited. Employees of CBS and Walt Disney not eligible. Write today. Mystery Theater, P.O. Box 1, Radio City Station, New York. Entries received by September 3 are eligible for at least one drawing. Winners will be notified by mail.
Oh, great spirit, whose voice in the winds I hear, and whose breath give life to all the world, hear me.
The voice is Iron Eyes Cody of the Cherokee Nation. The words are a prayer first spoken 400 years ago by his people, a people who loved the land.
Make me walk in beauty. Make my heart respect all you have made. Make me wise that I may know all you have taught my people, the lessons you have hidden in every rock.
In some Americans today, that spirit is reborn. Throughout the land, areas of thoughtless litter and pollution are being restored to their natural beauty. And yet we still have so far to go. So everyone must get involved. To contact the Keep America Beautiful team nearest you, write Keep America Beautiful, 99 Park Avenue, New York, New York. People start pollution. People can stop it.
A public service message from this station and the Advertising Council.
Creatures of an alien culture, beings from a galaxy light years removed from our Earth, have become interested in the researches of Professor Dwight Addison. They have caused to be planted in the house, which he has rented for the summer, a network of listening devices, which keeps him and his wife Jane under constant surveillance. These two, Professor and Mrs. Addison, have eluded the eavesdroppers temporarily by leaving their car, in which a bug has been planted, and walking down a wooded path.
But how can you be sure that everything is bugged the way you say? How can you be so sure?
That little gadget I've been calling a hearing aid isn't a hearing aid at all, Jane. It's a device for detecting radio transmission.
Radio transmission?
The bugs they've planted in and around the house are tiny radio transmitters. I get a beep from the thing I had in my ear every time I get near one. They're all over the house, two or three in several of the rooms. And they've been placed around the grounds in such a way that there's not a spot anywhere where we could talk without being overheard.
In the car, too?
At least one in the car.
Pearl and Edgar.
Oh, yes, Pearl and Edgar. They're very unlikely servants, haven't you noticed that?
Would they be working for somebody else, or
oh,
are they...
somebody else. Oh, they're only agents. As a matter of fact, I suspect strongly that they're in the employ of intelligent beings from another world.
Oh, no, really, Dwight.
The project I have in hand would interest such beings. It's not much of a secret anymore that this planet has been visited.
Flying saucers?
Well, there have been some very, very secret investigations. There's not much doubt about it among the people who have the facts.
And your work is...
They'd be interested.
Oh, we shouldn't have left Pearl and Edgar alone in the house. What if they get into the lab?
I'm sure they have a duplicate key. But there's nothing in there of any consequence.
Well, you told me the place was full of secret material.
But that was for the benefit of the eavesdroppers, whoever they are. No. I have it all in my head, Jane. I don't trust papers.
Ooh, I hate being spied on.
I've given them something to think about, though. I left some papers under my desk pad for them, phony as $3 bills.
Phony?
Utter nonsense. Jane, I have a plan. I'll need your help.
You don't have to ask.
Thank you, my dear. I'm going to turn you into a nagging wife. And when we get back to the car, I want you to start.
Over Y to the fourth power equals... And then he's got a question mark that he's gone over and over until the paper's almost cut through by the pen.
You found nothing except the papers under his desk pad?
Just these four sheets, yes.
Is that all of it?
Well, then he's got some scribbled notes at the bottom. He's written down the word heterodyne two or three times like he was thinking on paper, you know, and then third voltage. On another line, he's written light, speed, plus, then crossed out the plus and printed it in again in capital letters.
Light, speed, plus. That's interesting. Any more?
Well, just some figures at the bottom.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on just a minute.
Okay.
We've been out of touch with the Andersons for almost half an hour. They've returned to their car now. But this must not happen again.
Well, what do you want me to do?
There's something you do to a car's carburetor to put it out of commission. You know about that?
Yes, that's easy enough.
Well, then do it as soon as they bring the car back. And try to do it right.
Well, I hope you're satisfied.
It was beautiful. Well, wasn't it beautiful?
Back there in that jungle? It was crawling.
But, Jane, I just felt like going into the woods.
So we went. Dwight, what did you want to do in the city?
Well, just some errands.
That's what I asked you. What errands?
Things to do with a project I'm working on. I'm afraid I'm not at liberty to go into it.
Not at liberty? You have to make a left turn at the next crossroad.
Yeah, I know that. My work is very secret. I've told you that before. I'm not free to talk about it to anybody. Anybody at all.
Well, it makes a woman feel unwanted.
Oh, now, come on, Jane. You know better than that.
One of these days, and maybe before too long, I'll just decide not to stay where I'm not wanted.
Jane!
If you can be trusted with a secret, why can't I? It's just that you don't want to tell me. Well, one of these days, maybe you'll be sorry after I've left you.
Jane, you don't mean that.
You'll find out.
All right, I'll tell you.
So tell me.
Well, not now. I can't go into it while I'm driving. It's too distracting. I'll tell you when we get home.
You missed the turn, you know.
Don't tamper with a car. You understand me? Don't touch it unless you hear from me.
Well, okay, but you said
the car... We have reason to believe that we're going to get some vital information as soon as the Addisons get home. They should be there very soon.
Well, okay, then you don't want me to...
I don't want you to do anything until you're told to do something. Now stay near your telephone for further instructions.
We get 20,000. He gets a punch in the nose.
Now, this is wrong. All wrong, Jane. I want your absolute promise that you will never...
Dwight, if you're going to start that again...
Oh, all right. What I'm working on is a new kind of radio signal.
A radio signal? Well, good heavens, what's so hush-hush about a radio signal?
This is quite different from the kind of radio signal you're thinking of. This is a sound that kills whoever hears it.
Kills?
Slowly and rather painfully, I'm afraid. I haven't been able to work out a way to make it more humane.
You mean you just turn your radio on and you get this sound or whatever it is and it kills you?
Yes. Its effect is not unlike the effect of nerve gas. Yes, yes, it's quite deadly and quite awful, really.
I don't see how that's possible. Just a noise that comes out of your radio.
Well, there's a whole new mathematical concept involved. It works, though. It works.
I don't think you ought to do it. Is it... Are you close?
Oh, the device itself is finished, ready to use. There's the problem, of course, of testing it without... Well, without killing anybody.
I think it's absolutely dreadful.
Oh, yes, it is, rather. I worked out one of the problems last night, a shield to protect the sender.
Your hearing aid.
Well, it wasn't a hearing aid at all, of course. Used in the sender's ears, both ears, of course, it neutralizes the effect of the signal.
Oh, it's worse than the atom bomb.
In some ways, I suppose it is. There's no antidote. Once you've heard the signal, you're dead. There's no way to arrest it. As you say, it is rather dreadful.
What do you intend to do with it?
Well, the first thing I must do is to make another of the shields tonight and make sure that they work.
Make sure? How?
I'll feed the sound through an amplifier, not broadcast it, of course, and wear the two shields. If I'm not affected, then I know the shield works.
But, Dwight, you can't.
I can't think of another way. You'd better stay clear of the lab tonight. I'll have to warn Pearl and Edgar.
Does it work on just any old radio?
Any radio. Through any transmitter. Anything from your big commercial transmitter to one of those tiny little things they use as eavesdropping devices. Bugs, I think they're called.
I wish you wouldn't do that tonight, Dwight.
Now, I'll be all right, my dear. The shields will work. And there aren't any radio transmitters nearby. After all, we're not bugged.
I want all listening devices removed from the house and grounds. The car, too. Every bug you planted, I want out at once. Destroy them as you remove them. Make sure not one of them is left functional.
Would you care to come with me for a walk around the grounds, Jane?
All right, if you'd like to.
It's a lovely afternoon. Edgar and Pearl have been out enjoying it. Oh, Edgar.
Yes, Professor?
Before I forget it, I think it would be a good idea if you and Pearl stayed in your quarters this evening. I'm doing a rather special experiment, and I think it would be safer for you.
Okay, the whole evening?
Until quite late, yes. It's a lovely day, isn't it? Mrs. Addison and I are going to take a little walk.
Yes, yes, it's very nice out, and, it's okay about tonight.
We can talk now, Jane.
You mean we're free of those things?
Out here. They've removed all the bugs from the grounds. I've been watching them. Removed and dismantled them as they went.
Afraid of your experiment tonight?
Whoever's been listening must have given the orders. Oh, what a gorgeous day. Let's plan to stay out for at least an hour. That ought to give them time to clear the house of bugs.
What are you doing, Edgar?
I want to tell Smith all the bugs are out. I think maybe I ought to tell him what the professor said about a special experiment tonight, too. I expect he'd want to know that.
Well, I wonder why he wanted the bugs out.
You think he'd tell me? Come on. Why doesn't he answer?
The number you have reached is not in service at this time. The number you have reached is not in service at this time. This is a recording.
Mr. Smith's run out on us.
What do you mean?
The phone's been disconnected.
Well, then how are we going to collect our money?
We're not. This phone number is our only contact with them. A man named Smith... Even if it was his real name, and you know damn well it's not.
Oh, but our $20,000.
If I ever find him, I won't just punch him in the nose. I'll kill him.
Well, what are we going to do?
We're going to get out of this house right now. If they're scared, so am I.
Come to the window, Jane.
Oh, what's happening out there now?
They're leaving. I watched them loading their car with luggage. We've seen the last of Pearl and Edgar.
Maybe we should go, too.
Why? We've paid our rent for the season. The bugs are gone. We'll have to run a big house without help for a while, of course, but...
That's all right with me. Incidentally, how did you like my performance as the nagging wife?
Much too well, my dear. I'll never cast you in a role like that again.
Dwight.
Yes, dear?
You're not really working on that awful thing, are you? I mean, the radio signal that kills people?
No. No, nothing of the kind. Actually, what I'm working on is a time bypass that will make traveling between galaxies possible.
Really make it possible?
If it works. It looks good in theory. Of course, I know how to make the lethal radio signal.
You do?
Oh, yes. Yes, there's nothing to it, really, once you understand the mathematics.
Oh, Dwight, you wouldn't.
Oh, no, no, dear. That's one secret nobody's ever going to get out of me. Not even a nagging wife.
Professor Addison has tricked the eavesdroppers into removing their listening devices from his home and his laboratory. But has he stopped them altogether? They seem to be a determined breed. And I'm sorry to say, there are always people around like Mr. Smith and Pearl and Edgar Parker who will sell out if the price is right. Perhaps we've heard the last of the eavesdroppers. And perhaps we haven't. I'll be back shortly.
When you say Budweiser, when you say Bud, you said a lot of things nobody else can say. When you say Bud, you've got as far as you can go to get the very best. When you say Bud, you said the word that means you like to do it all. When you say but, you say you care enough to only want the king of beers. There is no other one, there's only something less, because the king of beers is leading all the rest. When you say but,
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
At this reading, interstellar travel has not been announced as feasible. But things move fast in this age. Don't be too surprised if you hear on a newscast that Professor Dwight Addison found a way to make it feasible. And be with us, no matter what method of travel it requires, for our next look at some of the improbabilities that turn out to be, after all, possible. Our cast included Arnold Moss, Patricia Wheel, William Redford, Ralph Bell, and Joan Arliss. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
How is Joan?
Oh, the beast tore her arm, but it's not serious. We'll strike camp and get away today.
I think, Reverend, for the safety of all concerned, it would be better not to leave the island just now.
Both Mrs. Manning and I are grateful for your presence, Dr. Carter. But I can't help thinking that perhaps all of our problems would have been solved if you hadn't stopped me when I had the brute in my gunsight.
Had you fired, and had you killed the thing, you would have committed murder.
Murder? Now you've got me completely confounded. How can killing this thing possibly be murder?
Well, this thing, as you refer to it, Reverend, is a man. One of this camping party. A man gone savage.
Well, I saw the thing. That was no man. That was a dog or a wolf.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
tune for CBS Radio News next on KIXI Seattle. The National Federation of the Blind plans to establish a new affiliate east of Lake Washington soon. If you are a blind person or a friend of the blind and want to know more about this plan or about the Federation, you are invited to call 522-7160. That number again, 522-7160. Pacific Daylight Time, 11 p.m.
CBS News. President Ford has a meeting scheduled Thursday to talk about one potentially serious energy problem this winter. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The president will meet with governors of 16 states, most of which face potentially serious shortages of natural gas. The president wants to find out just how serious the governors think the shortages may be and what their ideas are for dealing with the situation. The president and his advisors have been contending that deregulation of natural gas prices would be the best way to get more of the fuel flowing into the areas that will need it most. There are several reports out of Washington saying that an 11th-hour effort will be made to reach a compromise on domestic oil price controls between President Ford and Congress. The president has said he will veto the bill to extend the controls for 6 months. They expire August 31st. One report says Senate Democratic leader Mike Mansfield will make a personal effort to break the stalemate. More news in a moment.
Someone over and want the little things to go right, you can always count on Michelob. Michelob has been living up to its notices since 1896, living up to its great taste on tap, in bottles and cans, and always an unexpected pleasure.
Great on the great taste of Michelob.
The unexpected pleasure.
The unexpected pleasure.
The unexpected pleasure.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
In Portugal, the political crisis appears to have eased a bit. Bert Quint has a report from Lisbon.
It's a time of comparative calm in Portugal. The political crisis remains unresolved, but the pressure has relaxed for the moment. Concessions granted yesterday to communists and anti-communists have bought some time for President Costa Gomes in his efforts to bring the opposing factions onto a bit of common ground. The communists appear to have gained from this respite, for their ally, Prime Minister Gonçalves, remains in office. The attempts by moderate military officers and the radical leftist, but not Moscow line, forces led by the country's security chief to get together to oust Gonçalves have failed. What seems to have happened is that the Moscow liners and the non-Moscow liners have reached a working agreement of their own. Bert Quint, CBS News, Lisbon.
Wednesday night in Lisbon, an estimated 35,000 communists marched through the streets to show their support for Prime Minister Gonçalves. At the presidential palace, the premier spoke to the crowd and said that reactionaries are threatening the Portuguese government. Political tension in Argentina, which had been running high this week, now appears to have eased. President Isabel Perón late Wednesday night bowed to demands by the military to remove Army Chief Alberto Numa Laplanye. She named General Jorge Videla to replace him. There were rumors the military was about to attempt a coup to press the issue of Laplanya's removal from the top army post. In Jerusalem, the Associated Press quotes U.S. sources as saying that under the Middle East agreement shaping up, nearly 100 American technicians carrying sidearms for their own protection would be stationed in the Sinai. The report says only two or three provisions remain to be ironed out before the agreement between Israel and Egypt is reached. Secretary of State Kissinger is now in Jerusalem. There is speculation the agreement will be initialed before next week. The Democrats have chosen New York City as the site of their 1976 presidential nominating convention. New York won out over Los Angeles. Republicans are going to pick their convention city next month. There is some speculation Kansas City has the inside track. But GOP officials are also reported to be seriously considering Cleveland and Miami Beach. The Commerce Department on Wednesday reported its index of leading economic indicators rose 1.7% in July, giving further credence to claims that the recession is over. It was the fifth month in a row the indicators have advanced. Now this.
I'm better at McDonald's French fry working than you are.
Oh, yeah? Fry me.
What do the best fries get at McDonald's?
Top priority.
If a McDonald's fry wrote a book about its life, what would it be called?
An auto-fryography.
Oh, it's as easy as fry.
Anyone can do it.
Mr. Fry.
Fry Society.
Fry and dry.
That is fry.
Triumphant.
When you've got a big appetite for French fries, what do? Get the big tasting large order of McDonald's fries. Hot, crisp, and golden. They're fantastic.
You know what they're famous for? What are the best French fries in town?
How do they make McDonald's fries so delicious?
That's classified in frymation.
You know why the quality's high? Cause you deserve a break today. At McDonald's, we do it all for you.
The Detroit Free Press reports that tracking dogs have picked up the scent of former Teamster boss James Hoffa in the backseat and the trunk of a car owned by the son of a Detroit underworld figure. The newspaper says FBI agents using the special scent dogs apparently have determined that at some point the missing Hoffa was in the car owned by Joseph Giacalone, whose father is a reputed mafia chieftain. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.